Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we are back. 13 after the hour. Thank you very much for being with us today. I appreciate that. 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as I promised you, our good friend Russ Brown is with us. Russ is the author of two outstanding books. One is called Preparing Your Business for Sale. The other one is called Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, Laws of the Jungle. And let me tell you a little bit about Russ. As I mentioned earlier, he's a very experienced business broker. He's a business consultant. He has his own company called the Business Book Press, and he is a member of our Brain Trust. Russ, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you having me back.
Well, it's always good to have you with us. And, Russ, one of the things you want to talk about today, you sent me a list of some steps that we need to take if we are in the process of buying a business.
That's right. You know, we talk a lot about buying a business, selling a business. We talk about the intricacies of it as we get into various subjects. And sometimes we should step back, and I think your listeners need to put in perspective just what they have to do if they want to consider buying a business.
Well, and yeah, there's no question about it. And one of the things that I'd like to remind people, you and I have said this before, Russ, and that is that even if you are, at this moment, you're not thinking about buying a business, but you are thinking about, you either are owning, you own a business now, or you are thinking about owning one, starting one on your own. Many of the things that we talk about in our discussions about buying and selling a business are things that you need to know, fundamental things that you need to know just to operate any business, whether you just bought it or whether you're about to buy it or whether you own it or whether you're dreaming about it.
That's exactly right. And you know, talk about the dreaming about owning, having your own business.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have that dream. I know that the millions of people that listen to your program, they have that dream of being in business someday, or they are in business already. And what I advocate is most people, when they think about that dream, they have that dream, they think about starting a business.
Right.
That's fine. But also what you should be thinking about is buying an existing business. There's no better way to hit the ground running than to buy a good quality, profitable business and then to take that to even greater heights. And if you're already in business, Jim, what you should think about if you want to expand, you want to get some rapid expansion, really give a boost to what you're already doing, think about buying a related business that fits in with what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and you can get an immediate boost to your business operations.
Right. You know, if you're dreaming about it, as Russ said, if you're thinking about starting a business, go talk to somebody who started a business. Before you do that, go talk to somebody who's done that and ask them how they felt when they opened a brand spanking new business the first morning and no customers came in.
And the next morning and the next morning.
That's right. Because they don't know you're there. I mean, they just, you know, if you just start a new business, and there's something that really helps you get off the ground. There's nothing that helps you get off the ground better than customers, obviously. And if you can buy an existing business, one that somebody else has already been in the marketplace with for, you know, however many years, and when you own that business, the day you own it and you open the door, that customer comes walking in because he or she's been doing that for the last 10 years or 20 years.
That's right, and that's worth a great deal of money, actually, because if you sit down and there's a new business and you think about what it takes to bring that customer to you, whether you have a retail business or a service business, or whatever it is, you've got to get the customers to come to you, to trust you, to know that you're there, to appreciate and to buy your product or services. And that is difficult to do. It takes time. It takes a lot of advertising dollars. And, boy, if you can get a business that's already paid their dues there, that already has that happening, you can get a major step up in fulfilling your dream.
You know, so many times I know you've done this too. You talk to somebody who's wanting to start a business, or they look at buying a business, and sometimes the sellers do charge too much. Sometimes they do want too much, and sometimes they won't come off their price and come down to a price that's reasonable. And I recognize that, but a lot of times, more times than not, it's the purchaser not realizing how much it really is going to cost him or her to get that business going.
That's right, and you're right. There are problems associated with the pricing of businesses. What is it worth? The seller typically wants more than it's worth, and the buyer typically doesn't want to pay what it really is worth. And mm-hmm. so you've got all those issues, of course, and that's true of in any business situation, I think. But what I'm saying is, given the fact that you're an entrepreneur, you're entrepreneurial minded, and you want to get into business, you should at least consider buying an existing business. Okay, so you also look into starting that business that you have a dream of being in. You can look at that, but at the same time, be looking to see what's available out there. There may be a business in your area or compatible with moving to your area or an area that you'd move to for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that may be already there, and that may fit in your plans better and give you a much higher chance of success by buying that existing profitable business. So you
don't... One of the things, Russ, that I like to help people to think about is think about the marketplace with regard to the product or service that you're going to sell. Think of it like a pie. And if you buy an existing business, you're getting an existing piece of that pie. That whole marketplace is a pie, and that business that you're buying gets a piece of that pie. They've got so much market penetration, so to speak. And if you introduce a brand spanking new business into that marketplace, you are making everybody's pie become smaller, and they're going to resist that, and you're going to have to carve your piece out of their pieces of pie. And number one, they're not going to like that. Number two, they probably got more staying power than you do. And number three, you're probably thinking the way to get that piece of pie is to be the lowest price. And Russ, you and I both know that the way to success, only for a very few, is the way to success by being the low ball price point in the marketplace.
That's right. That's one of the biggest mistakes that small businesses make.
Yeah,
for a startup.
That's exactly right. They always think, well, I can do it cheaper than him. He's charging too much. Well, the truth is, you probably just don't know how much it costs to be in business. 888-822-8255. Folks, if you've got a question for us, if you have a comment, give us a call. That's the number. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend, Russ Brown. All right, we're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend, Russ Brown. He's a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He is the owner of Business Book Press. He is the author of two outstanding books called Preparing Your Business for Sale, a book about selling your business, and then the other one is Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. Both of these I recommend to you. Russ, tell our audience how they can get them.
Well, you can go to any good quality bookstore, and if they don't have them on the shelf, they can certainly order them for you. You can come to my website at www.businessbookpress.com, or you can give me a call at 800-363-8867. We'd be glad to talk with you.
And if you're not sure if your bookstore is a quality bookstore, if it has Russ's book, it is. If it doesn't, it's not. Right, Russ?
Absolutely. That's the criteria.
888-822-8255. Russ, occasionally I'll get email from someone telling me that they want to start a business, you know, and I can tell that they're going to that they're planning to be the low ball. The low price point leader in the market. They're going to start out. They're going to start their business day one being cheaper than everybody else. I wish I had a penny for every $1,000 that was been invested in the last 100 years by people who thought they were going to start a business by being cheaper than everybody else.
That's right. It does not work. It sounds good on paper.
Yeah,
sounds like it makes sense, but it doesn't work.
Well, and here's the reason. I've even seen people do an intricate budget, I mean, down to the nth degree, how much it was going to cost them to operate that business. But now they've never done one before, and they actually did a pretty good job of budgeting for that new business, and they had determined that they could actually make money by charging this price, which was below their competitor. And perhaps it was somebody that they used to work for, and they always thought that they charged too much. Well, the truth is that they haven't planned for growth. They haven't planned for how to fund growth, how to fund for the you know, how to prepare for the lack of cash flow that's going to cost you a lot of extra money when you don't have extra, you don't have the cash flow that you need, and on and on and on. All the mistakes and all the things that they're going to do that are wrong in the early days, somebody has to pay for that. And that's almost never in a budget. Yep. But it's always on a financial statement.
Absolutely. And so those are, and that's one of the reasons that it's so smart to think about and buy an existing business if one's available.
Right.
And that's the theme of what we're talking about this morning. And of course, all of the things, as you pointed out, that we're talking about are all applicable to whether you're starting a business, buying a business, or if you're in business and planning to expand.
Right, exactly. Let's go to your second point.
Well, you've got to, that's assess your capabilities and interests. And what I say there, and, that's, and boy, is this really true with starting your own business as well as buying one. You really got to understand what your capabilities are and what your interests are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's nothing worse to get into a business, whether you buy it or start it, and find out that you don't have the capability that goes that's necessary to run the business, and you don't have enough money to hire it.
Right.
Or worse than that is you don't have the interest. I mean, it is tough to run a business. It's you, like you say in your theme, you eat what you kill.
Yep.
And if you've got to come in every day and work that business and be responsible for that payroll, responsible for your bills every day, if you aren't 100% interested in what you're doing, you're dead.
Well, there's two things. There's actually two components to that, I think, Russ, and I know you'll agree with me on this. One is, be sure you are in a business that you enjoy being in, the industry, doing what that company does. That's one thing, and that goes back to your point about your capabilities and your interests. But number two, inside of that company, everybody, Russ, we're all good at something, but and maybe not as good at other things. And so you may be really good at organization, at management, but not very good at salesmanship. Or you may be the best salesman in the world, but you're not very good at detail. But you're the owner. You've got to find somebody who can complement the other side of what you can do well, don't you?
Yes. And you finally, and I'll tell you what I've seen from my experience is that there are many people who are good salesmen, salespersons. Mm-hmm. They can sell snow to the Eskimos. And they will get into business. They will sell their service or their product. Then they find they can't manage. Like you said, they don't have that sense of detail that's absolutely necessary to effectively run a successful
business. And they better find somebody who can, or they're in trouble. All right, we've got to take a quick break, folks. It's 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russ Brown is our special guest. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend, Russ Brown. He's the author of Preparing Your Business for Sale, and that's one book. The other book is called Strategies for Success with Buying or Selling a Business. And we're going to get him to tell you again in a little bit how to get those books and the other reports, including his website. But Russ, and by the way, folks, our phone number is 888-822-8255. Russ, one of the things that you've got to know when you're thinking about buying a business is you've got to know how much cash it's going to take and how much you've got for yourself to put in.
That's right. You have to do a good assessment of how much cash you have available to yourself and how much you can get a hold of that would be available for you to use to get that business going. Now, keep in mind, when you buy a business, and here's what a lot of people don't fully understand. When you buy a business, 80 or 90% of the time, the seller of that business will finance the sale of the business to you.
It's also called taking back paper.
Right. And the way that the business will be sold, there'll be a down payment required, some cash down payment. You're going to require some operating capital. But then the balance of what you owe on the business, if you've priced the business properly, of course, my books show you how to do this. If you price the business properly, the business cash flow will pay for itself over the period of time. That's what people don't understand. This is super money. You can really, really make a lot of money doing this. And the ones who understand this are making money and are finding this a great way to get into business.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to know how much you have available. Do you have $50,000 or $500,000? Makes a difference in what you can afford to buy. But you will be able to use that as a baseline, to extrapolate from that and buy a much bigger valued business than that cash that you have in hand. So some people say if you've got $50,000, if you're starting a business, that's all you've got, basically. There isn't very many places that will finance a startup from scratch, although the SBA does occasionally.
Right.
But it's very difficult to get that financing. But if with $50,000, you may be able to buy a $250,000 business.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very important. So what we've now decided is that you do want to buy, or at least consider buying an existing business. You've gone over your capabilities and interests. You know the field that you want to be in. Is it retail? Is it distribution? Is it service of some kind? Is it whatever that is? You now know the kind of cash that you have available, and now you conduct a search to find your business to match up with your experience, your interests, and of course your financial capabilities.
Let's talk about the guy, this person that you would approach to buy their business, and you'd like to think that he or she would finance it. But maybe they will, maybe they won't. There are a number of reasons why they would want to and would not want to. One of the reasons they would not want to would be because they don't have confidence in you, not because you're not capable of them having confidence in you, but it's just they don't know you.
Sure.
And they're not convinced that you're going to work hard and that you're going to be honest and all that. But one of the things, and this goes back to your earlier point, Russ, when you talk about us to assessing your capabilities and interests and make sure you do something that you know a little bit about, and it's a point we're going to be coming up to again in a little bit, and that is that if you can demonstrate to that seller that you have the knowledge and the capability to run this, you're not just green as a gourd, you know about this business, that will go a long way towards helping that seller have confidence in your ability to operate that business and to pay him or her all of their money.
That's right. And think of them as the banker, and, mm-hmm. And they're really going to look hard at you to make sure that they trust that they're going to get their money back from you over that period of time that you negotiate to pay them off.
Yeah,
the proceeds of the business.
The three things that I think, Russ, that they're going to look at is, number one, is what they think about your ability, and number two is the cash that you put in. Are you committed? Have you put enough down to be committed where you won't walk away easily? And number three, the documentation. You can prepare all the contracts so that they're protected.
That's right. And the cash is real important, and it may seem like a lot sometimes at first, but you've got to keep in mind that a lot of times businesses operate on a basis where you are expected to pay your suppliers within 30 days, and you've got to do that. But many times small businesses can't get paid for up to 90 days, so they can't. So the income, even though it's coming in, might be 90 days late, where the outgo is right on time within that 30 days. So there's that missing 60 days where you have to float your expenses,
mm-hmm.
and you need the staying power to be able to do that. That's where the operating capital comes in, or a line of credit at the bank.
Right, and folks, this is a very important point that Russ is making. It's the relationship between your accounts receivable days and your accounts payable days, and the difference in those 2 days calculation, which I'm sure you can find in Russ's book and in a lot of accounting books. The difference in your days receivable and your days payable is the amount of working capital that you need.
That's exactly right. And the big advantage of buying an existing business is that's all laid out for you. It's already there. You already know what that is. You know exactly what that is. You know where the lines of credit are. They're already established.
Where the manufacturers are. You know what's amazing, Russ, is how many times people email me about buying a business, and one of the first questions they ask me is, they tell me, I want to go into this business. Can you tell me some manufacturers to contact? It just blows me away that they want to go into a business. They don't even know where the products are going to come from. And what Russ is talking about, folks, is you don't have to worry about that when you buy an existing business. It's 39 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russ Brown is our special guest. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us, please. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, 1-888-822-8255. 8255. And Russ, please tell our audience one more time how they can get your books and how to contact you via your email, your website, and any phone number.
Well, you can get it from bookstores. There, if they don't have it, they can be ordered. You can buy it on the internet, preferably at my website, www.businessbookpress.com. Of course, if you want to go to my competitor, Amazon.com, they have it as well. And you can just call and give me a call. I'll be glad to, either I or Lori will be glad to talk with you and take your order. It's 800-363-8867.
All right. Thanks, Russ. And folks, if you're noodling around on my website, you'll find Russ on my Brain Trust section. You'll also find him all over the guest page. So and there also are links there to his website. If you're there in mine, just look for Russ, and you can link to him from my site if you want. Russ, what's next? Let's move on down the list here, and what's next on your list?
Well, we're talking about that once you've found the business that matches everything that you've got going for you, and let's just pause a moment to talk about how you find that business. I mean, one way is through business brokers. That's a very good way. Many business brokers have excellent businesses for sale. But the really best way is if you know of a business in your area that the kind of business you'd like to run, approach the owner. Approach them confidentially. You don't walk up in the middle of the business day. You can send them a letter, give them a phone call after business hours, or be introduced to them by a mutual acquaintance, and just gently broach the subject of you'd like to be in that kind of business. Are they considering retiring or selling at any point in time in the near future? And that's a great way of finding a good business. You know, there are many businesses found that way. And a lot of people just don't think of doing that. They just go to the business broker and just take what they have on the shelf, or, you know, what's in their inventory for sale.
It's basically just market research.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can look around, especially if you know it's in your town, your area where you live, and you know that you want to be in a certain kind of a business, then look around and find the one that seems to be, you know, to have the indicators that maybe the person might be about to sell, especially if they are of retirement age and they don't have any obvious heir apparents.
That's exactly right.
That's the great one.
All right. Now let's say you found this business. You found a business that's a good candidate, meets all your criteria. The owner thinks he might like to sell. What you're going to need to do next is to enter into a confidentiality agreement with that business owner. That is, you're going to agree not to disclose to anyone any of the information that business owner provides to you about the business.
And if you approach them, you need to offer this very early on, don't you, Russ?
Yes, you need to have this already prepared and say, look, here's what I'll do. You know, I'll agree to not even disclose that we're even discussing the possibility of selling your business. Never mind any of the financial information you might disclose to me about it.
And they may have their own confidentiality agreement already ready. Ask them if they want you to use yours, or if they would like to use theirs.
That's right. And of course, in my books, I include a confidentiality agreement you can use. But that's fairly, you know, business brokers do have those, and so if the business is listed with a broker, they most likely will have their own confidentiality agreement. However you do this, you will have to sign that agreement, and it's just a good, honest, faith agreement not to to disclose this very confidential information that you're going to need to evaluate to whether or not you want to buy this business.
Right.
And then conversely, be prepared to provide a confidential profile of yourself to that business owner.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do that. You need to be able to convince that business owner that you have those capabilities, both in your skill and interest background, as well as financially, that you're be able to handle the purchase of that business.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a quid pro quo going on here. They're giving you sensitive financial information and other details about the business, and you are giving sensitive financial information about yourself and other details to the business owner.
You know, another thing, Russ, to think about, there might be some employees out there who have been a good employee and they've learned the business and they know a little bit about the owner. They know that the owner's, you know, perhaps moving towards retirement age, or they've heard the owner say something about retiring or whatever. You know, a lot of times owners don't necessarily look to their employees as a purchaser prospect.
That's right.
And I think that that's something that you ought to be thinking about yourself. And there's certainly, I don't think there's anything wrong with approaching the owner and just saying, you know, Mr. Jones, I just want you to know that I'd like to own this business one day. And if you ever decide, you don't have to say, would you sell it to me, because you'd be a little bit presumptuous, but just say, if you ever decided to sell it, would you please at least let me be considered?
That's, you know, Jim, some of the most successful business transactions I've seen out there where the business has gone on and not only done well but really thrived is when the employee has bought out the business owner.
But
I've seen that many times, and,
yep,
and it's super successful.
But where the employee misses the opportunity is when they don't approach the owner, and before they get in there, somebody from outside who's been doing what you and I've been telling them to do has approached the owner, and before you know it, it's sold out from under the employee.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, stand by, Russ. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russell Brown is our special guest. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay with us, please. All right, we're back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our very good friend, Russell Brown. Russell is a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He's the president of Business Book Press. And Russell, give your website out one more time,
please. www.businessbookpress.com.
Check it out, folks. It's a good website. It's a lot of good stuff there, a lot of great reports that Russell has prepared that you can order from there, as well as his books. I recommend you that you go there. Russell, let's wrap things up here. We're coming up on the end of the hour. And, folks, we've been talking about steps for buying a business, and we've been going through them fairly quickly. But let's finish up with some of the lessons.
Where we're at now is you found the business, you're talking to the business owner, you've got a confidentiality agreement in place, and you want to proceed further. Now you need a letter of intent. What this letter of intent will do, will basically take the business off the market while you investigate further. So this letter of intent will have a deposit with it, some cash deposit, which if you don't follow through, by the way, typically is returned to you.
Can I make a point here, Russ?
Sure.
Notice that at no moment in time up to now have we mentioned that you need a lawyer.
That's right.
That's one of the biggest mistakes that people make. You are going to need a lawyer, an attorney, to help you with the contract. But you don't even need an attorney till after the letter of intent has been written.
That's right.
Okay,
absolutely.
Now go ahead.
You absolutely do need an attorney. You need good accounting advice, but don't bring them in too soon. These are the fee meter folks, I call them. You know,
they're deal killers. Attorneys are deal killers.
Absolutely. That's my first law of the jungle, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now that you've got your letter of intent, you've got to go through your due diligence process. Now, we've spent a couple of shows talking about just what's involved in that due diligence process, so we won't rehash that. But what you're doing, in a nutshell, is investigating all the details and aspects, both financial and otherwise, of that business, determine that it is as the seller represents, and it's that a business that you feel confident that you're going to be successful in.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're through that, Jim, what we've got to do is to begin negotiating the details of how you're going to buy the business. Of course, it isn't just price. You got to think in terms of what's going to be included in the sale of the business,
right?
The name of the business, the telephone number,
customer list.
Yep, especially, I mean, your number, your 888 number is a valuable asset to you,
mm-hmm.
And so that would have to be included in the sale of a business.
The lease, make sure that you're going to be able to assume the lease.
Right, and the terms of how you're going to pay the money, over how many years and at what interest rate, if the seller is going to hold the financing, and like we said, most of them will.
Mm-hmm.
So once you've got all of that negotiated, and you're satisfied with your deal, and by the way, this is about the time, at this point in time, you probably want to bring an accountant in to help you with some of these financial details,
right,
if you're not comfortable with yourself. Now is where you bring in the attorney, and you enter into a binding purchase and sale agreement. This is where you say, I'm going to buy your business under these terms and conditions, and you're going to sell it to me, and we're going to do it all on this date. And you put your pen to paper, and you make this agreement, and you put down a significant deposit, which would be not refundable if you decided not to proceed. But this binds this to the business to you, mm-hmm, and allows you to do the rest of the things you need to do to get to buy the business.
Right, and the contract, folks, is prepared from the letter of intent.
Right, and now what you're going to do, now that you've got your purchase and sale.
Yes. I'm going to have to interrupt you. We're coming up. I've got a hard break here. We're going to have to wrap it up for the hour. I want to get you back, though, because we've got some more things on this we want to talk about. And I want to get back and do some more work on the due diligence process. We covered this a lot last year, but I'd like to do some more on it this year.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to having you back again. As always, you did a great job today.
I'll be glad to come back. And good luck, and we'll see you all later.
Thanks, Russ. See you later. All right, folks, got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.